Good morning, everyone. A very happy Easter to you all. I'd like to welcome Reverend Hanneke Hall and everyone from Strathbrook St Nicholas to our service today. It's great to have a joint Easter service, and it's great to see our church so busy. Whether you're from Strathbrook, Broxburn, another church, or no church, you're all very welcome. And we're delighted you're spending time with us on this very special morning. And well done on remembering to put your clocks forward this morning. Hopefully you've all enjoyed a tea or coffee in the big hall. Just a reminder, there'll be no refreshments after church today. There will, however, be a retiring offering as you leave in aid of the Scottish Bible Society. Thank you to everyone who's helped put together the Easter cross, which I'm sure you'll agree is looking magnificent. So whether you brought flowers or helped to put it all together, thank you very much. At the end of the service, after the benediction, the cross will be taken out and displayed at the corner of Church Street and East Main Street outside. Our next coffee bar here in Broxburn is in our big hall on Saturday morning, and that's the usual times from 11 to 12:30. And next Sunday, our worship here will be led by Martin Pierce. Thank you.
You all.
Morning.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful for me to be here this morning with you and to celebrate Easter Sunday. And like David said, welcome to you all. If you've been to church a lot or if you've not been to church at all, you are welcome here in this place of worship. I would like to call us to worship now, so if you want to take a few moments just to sit back, relax. Perhaps you've had a really busy morning if you've been serving teas and coffees in the hall, or perhaps you've been at the early service at Strathbrook, or if you've simply woken up this morning and come to church. Whatever you are carrying in your heart, whatever you bring with you this morning, let us take a few moments to still our hearts and our minds here in the presence of God. Let us celebrate with Easter joy, not out of habit, not thinking only about chocolate and fun, but with a brand new awareness of Christ's presence with us as our loving and our risen Lord. Let us pray. Lord of the church, Lord of our lives, Lord of the world, we have come to worship you. For you are Christ, arisen. Hallelujah. Friends, as we gather here in worship, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. We are going to be singing together this morning, and it's a bit of a different way of worshiping that we have this morning. Normally we have a song and then a prayer and then a reading and then another song. This morning we are going to sing three of our songs of worship back to back. We're going to start with the beautiful hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, followed by See What a Morning Gloriously Bright, followed by Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. So if you're able to, for all three songs, stay standing, you're more than welcome to. If you do feel like in between the songs you might get a bit tired, please feel free to sit down. There's no rules. You can enjoy the worship as we sing together. So let us start with Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and if you're able, please stand.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Our
We are about to pray in adoration of the risen Lord and God. There is a response to the end of this prayer. I will read and pray. In the midst of suffering and pain, you please respond, God is with us, God within us, alleluia, alleluia, God, give thanks to the risen Lord. Shall we try that? Let's try it. God is with us, God within us, alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to our risen Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, risen Christ, Holy Spirit, we adore you. Adoration is on our lips and in our hearts as we worship on this very special day. Adoration of our God, our risen Lord, our King and our Redeemer is in our hearts. Adoration of the risen Christ shines from within us and fills our worship. Adoration of the Holy Spirit is in our midst, always and everywhere, now and forever. We shout our alleluias, yet within us there are burdens of guilt and regret. There are words spoken and deeds done that ought not to have been. There are tasks of discipleship left undone. There is love not given, a smile not offered. There is rejection, denial, betrayal. On this Easter day, we confess our failings. And in resurrection life and light, seek forgiveness. Risen Lord, hear our prayer. Risen Christ, wipe away our fears and our tears. Cleanse us, renew us, refresh us. Release us from all that we have confessed. And let us walk with you, our resurrection God, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Lent and Holy Week is gone, that journey over. Maundy Thursday called us to service and devotion. Good Friday pained us, stained us, and drained us. Saturday stopped us in our tracks, reflecting. Easter Day brings us resurrection that will never, ever be over. Christ is risen for us and within us. Beyond the fluffy chicks and Easter eggs, there is life in all its fullness. In the midst of our joys and delight, in the midst of suffering and pain, God is with us, God within us. Alleluia, alleluia. Give thanks to our risen Lord. And now, because Jesus taught us how to, we will pray together saying, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
How many of you enjoyed doing a jigsaw puzzle? Yeah? Good, right? Is there anybody that has never done a jigsaw puzzle? No, right, okay, good, right. Hopefully we'll be sorted then, okay? What is the biggest jigsaw puzzle that anybody's ever completed? Let's have a bit of a competition here. Let's see, who's done 1,000 pieces? All right, okay. 2,000 pieces? Right. 5,000 pieces? No, right, okay, 2,000 pieces, right, okay. This morning I think that we are going to try, well, we are going to do a jigsaw puzzle. I think there's something very social about building a jigsaw puzzle. If you've ever had one out on the table in your house, it's very hard for anybody visiting you not to walk past the table without trying to put a piece in. So this morning, we are going to try collectively to build the jigsaw puzzle. So in case you're worried and you've got a leg of lamb in the oven that we're not going to get home before 3:30, today's puzzle only has 50 pieces, okay? So I'm hoping that we can manage to do that in the time that we have. Okay, I quite like doing things logically, so if I was doing a jigsaw puzzle, I would probably look for some key bits first. So around the church, hopefully, are all the bits of my jigsaw puzzle. So if you have a corner piece, can you bring that out or give me a wave and I'll come and collect it if you've got a corner piece? So we should have, obviously, 4 corner pieces. Yep, brilliant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Right, something's going wrong here. Right, stop. Sorry. Deary me. Right, corner pieces. Is my picture up on the screen? Yeah, so sorry, this is the picture that we're going to try and build today, okay? Right, so 1 corner piece, 2 corner pieces, 3, 4. Right, okay, right, we're organised, we're off on a roll. Okay, I'm obviously trying to work vertically here rather than on a table, so let's try build the bottom piece first. So there should be some pieces that look quite green, they've got some little animals, so we're looking for pieces that are straight with some animals along the bottom. We've already got 1, 2, 3 of them, so there's probably a few more to come. So if you think you've got a piece, an edge piece with animals on it, then please give us a wave or bring it forward. Right, brilliant, thank you. Brilliant. Thanks. Any more? Oh, great, brilliant. Thank you very much. Okay. Oh, thank you, sir. Right, we're getting there. Let's try to do the sides. So if you have a piece that you think is obviously on the side, again, looking at our picture, they're predominantly green and blue, and they'll have an edge on it. So if you've got a piece like that, if you want to bring that out, that'd be great. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm starting to worry that 50 pieces was too many. Right, I've done something wrong here. What have I done wrong? Ah, that's what it is. Yeah, well spotted. Right, okay. Oh. Thanks very much. Good, right. We're still missing some edge pieces. Are there any more? Seems to be there's a piece here, a piece there. So let me see that piece there. What's that? That's got quite a lot of blue on it. The piece here, that's got quite a lot of blue on it and a bit of rainbow maybe. Can we look for them? Oh, I think I've got this piece. Brilliant, thank you. Right, good news, I think we've completed the bottom. Right, let's try doing the top of the puzzle. Okay, so this should be straightforward because they have all that nice sky blue colour. So if you've got a piece that you think is from the sky, then if you could bring that out, that'd be great. Thank you. Cheers, Mike. I'll come round to you, that's okay. You want to stay and help? I bet you're glad now we decided not to do 1,000 pieces. Right, we're away, we're nearly there. Of course you can, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Hey, okay, we're getting there. You still seem to be missing a piece from the top, but let's just keep going anyway. Okay, right, let's try to do this piece here, okay? So if you look at our picture, we've got some leopards, we've got some foxes, some polar bears, some turtles, tortoises, and, donkeys? So if you've got a piece that you think goes there, then give us a wee wave and I'll collect it from you. Thank you. Cheers, Jane. Anybody more? Cheers, thank you. Do you want to put it on, or you? Have a go, yeah. Guys, see if you can put it on. Yeah, it's definitely getting easier. Yep, that's here. Yep. No, that's all right. Perfect. Yeah, great. Is it? Right, okay. Right, I think we're probably at the point now where we could probably just have all of the rest of the pieces. So if you're hanging on to a piece, then let's have them. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Do you want to put it on? Go and put it on. Anybody else got a piece? No more pieces here. Oh, brilliant. That's great, thank you. Oh, I don't know, I'm getting confused. Is that wrong? Yeah. Oh, great. Right, we've now got a top row. Is that there? All right, brilliant. Good, thank you very much. Cheers, Jim. Thank you. Where do you think that piece goes? Bottom right. Oh, right. I think the way. Is that there? Yeah, thank you. Oh. Yep, that's pretty much. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that looks good. Right, well, I think we're nearly there. Where's that piece going? Oh, it's getting close.
Two pieces missing.
Where's that bit go? Right, one more piece, two more pieces, sorry. No? No? All right. Okay, that's a bit disappointing, isn't it? Seems to be a bit missing. If you are the veteran of many church object lessons, you maybe already guessed that there was going to be a piece missing. But equally, you might have thought that, hey, we're going to build a puzzle and we're going to complete this puzzle. Like many things that we buy, if we buy a jigsaw puzzle, we open a box and we build it, we expect everything to be there. We expect nothing to be missing. Jigsaw puzzles, even a packet of biscuits, you expect nothing to be missing when you open it. So when that happens and you find that someone's missing, there's different emotions might go through your head, doesn't there? So firstly, you might be a bit confused, you might be frustrated, you might be disappointed, you might be angry, you might blame somebody. If it's in a family situation, perhaps you might blame somebody that somebody's taken the piece just to annoy you. So on that first Easter Sunday, when the women went to the tomb, they were expecting to find Jesus there, weren't they? They went with the oils and the spices and things to go through their burial routine. So they expected Jesus to be there. They didn't expect Jesus to be missing. So in a little while, we're going to read the story of that Easter Sunday, first Easter Sunday. And just as we do that, I'd like you to think about what your emotions might be if you were one of these people that went to the tomb on that Sunday morning, expecting to find Jesus in that tomb and finding that he was missing. So before we do that, we are going to sing a song. Now, it might be familiar to some of you, or it might be new to some of you, so I'm going to try to teach it to you. Now, when we were arranging the service, very helpfully, if you know church hymn books, they have things arranged into sections, so it's very easy. You just go to Easter and you run down the list of hymns and you pick the ones that match, and that happens at other times of the year. So this song, perhaps, on the surface, didn't seem like an Easter song, but the more I looked at it, the more I thought that it was. It talks about power, it talks about love, it talks about God's kingship. It even mentions big rocks being moved. So this song is called Nothing's Too Big, Big, Big for His Power. Anybody familiar with that? Nope. Right, okay. Right, another challenge. Okay. What you need to know about this song is that there are actions. Okay? So, it's quite a simple song. It's a children's song. Okay? So the actions are this. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too little, little, little for His care. Okay? Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too idly, widly for His care. You can see a pattern here. Okay? Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too eensy-weensy for His care. And then nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too teeny-weeny for His care. Does that make sense? So basically, you're going this way, then this way, then this way, etc. Okay? It then says He's God of the big, God of the little, God of the stuff somewhere in the middle. Okay? The King of moving mountains loves you more than you will ever know. Okay? That seems simple enough. Yeah? So it repeats that a couple of times, and there's another little verse that just says, He's God of the big, God of little, King of moving mountains, etc. As I say, it's quite repetitive. Okay? So are you happy to give that a go? Yep. Okay. It is on the video screen, and I will try and lead the actions if you can follow this. Yeah, if you can stand up, yeah, that'd be brilliant, yeah. Don't hit anybody. Too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too little, little for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too idly, widly for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too insy, winsy for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too teeny weeny for His care. He is God of the big, God of the little, God of the stuff somewhere in the middle. The King of moving mountains loves you more than you will ever know. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too little, little for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too idly, widly for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too insy, winsy for His care. Nothing's too big, big, big for His power. Nothing's too teeny, weeny for His care. He is God of the big, God of the little, God of the stuff somewhere in the middle. The King of moving mountains loves you more than you will ever know. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too much, He cares for it all. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too much, He cares for it all. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too much, He cares for it all. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too much, He cares for it all. He is God of the big, God of the little, God of the stuff somewhere in the middle. The King of moving mountains loves you more than you will ever know. Well done, you can have a rest, thank you very much.
The reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 16, reading verses 1 to 8, the resurrection. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Amen, and God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Susan, for doing that reading for us, and thank you, Wilson, and thank you, Jim, for what you helped us with this morning. This morning, hopefully, when you entered the church, you received a stone. If you haven't, don't worry, there's still some left in the bag, and on your way out, you can grab a stone for you to just take with you home. But this morning, I want you to hold the stone if you have one. Some are big, some are small, some are quite hard, some are pointy. And I want you to roll it around in your hand, if you've got it. Now I want to try and invite you to imagine for yourself. You are living in the year 33 AD, and it is Good Friday night. Jesus' body is buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and covering the tomb is an enormous stone. And focus on that stone for a moment. If you want to, you can close your eyes and just try and imagine for yourself what that looks like. The stone is massive. It's huge. It's very solid and very, very heavy. It's completely immovable, and you can't do anything about it. It's covering the tomb, and it's almost as if it's a final statement on Jesus' death. And it's not going anywhere. For today, we're going to briefly look at this stone and what it meant for all the different characters in the story that we know plays a part in the whole of the Easter story, and what this stone represents for each of these different characters. So let's start with the three women who run to the tomb early on the Sunday morning: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and a woman called Salome. And they ask this important and relevant to them question as they are running to this tomb: who will roll the stone away for us? For these three women, the stone represents the depths of their grief. They'd loved and they had lost. They had dared to hope, and the object of that hope had been captured, cruelly beaten, unjustly tried, mercilessly ridiculed, and ruthlessly executed. The stone was a barrier between them and their past, a past in which they'd believed in Jesus and believed in God and believed in themselves and believed in the power of love and believed in gentleness and generosity and forgiveness and healing and grace and gladness and truthfulness and joy, all the wonderful things that Jesus lived. They'd believed in complete joy. They really had. And just for a moment, they had found a life they had never known and a hope that they had never imagined and a love that could never die. But then he died. Life, hope, love, all died. All squashed and crushed behind that big stone. Getting up early to go and anoint Jesus' body with spices was a way for them to preserve that amazing memory of keeping alive someone they couldn't accept was really dead and honoring a legacy that they could never forget. It was an act of gratitude, of beauty and dignity in the face of a gruesome and devastating and final defeat. And the undeniable evidence of that defeat was that enormous, immovable stone at the tomb. Those are the women. Now let's imagine for a moment the Roman and Judean leaders and what the stone represented for them. For the people running Jerusalem in the year 33 AD, that huge, heavy, immovable stone represented their own power, their authority, their being in control. For they knew their lives was based on a lie. The Judean leaders like Caiaphas the high priest were all Roman appointees in the city of Jerusalem, and they lived with this daily humiliation and its crushing compromises of living under Roman rule. The Romans themselves lived and proclaimed the peace of the Pax Romana, a peace that was, in truth, no more than a motto asking or masking the control of one army over another. Such lies seemed a small price to pay for the social and the economic and the political benefits of being the ruling elite. And Jesus had been a serious threat to these cozy arrangements that they had. And now having Jesus safely tucked away in a tomb, silencing the voices seeking religious renewal and social revolution, this was what the stone represented to the Jerusalem authorities. Their power was lodged uneasily in the present, not likely to last long. But putting Jesus to death meant that their power was safe for another day. The great immovable stone was a bold statement that anyone who came in their way would be squashed like a fly. Now let's look at Jesus, the figure at the center of our story. What did the stone mean to him? On Palm Sunday, Jesus is where God and humanity meet in perfect harmony. Jesus is on a donkey, and this represents the renewal of God's people and the coming of the Savior. But 5 days later, everything falls apart. The people turn their back on their leader, and on the cross on Good Friday, Jesus discovers he's forsaken by his Father too. He dies utterly alone, disowned by humanity, and deserted by his own Father. That's what the stone represents to Jesus. His separation from humanity and his separation from his Father. The contrast of everything he is and came to bring about. Jesus is utterly with the Father and the Spirit in the unity of the Trinity, and he came to restore humanity to companionship with God by being utterly with humanity too. The stone is the sign of a contradiction, the symbol that everything that separates the Father from the Son and the Son from humanity and all of creation. But here's the crucial point for us. The stone is part of God's good creation. The bondedness of Jesus and the Father, together with the Holy Spirit, is the most fundamental truth there is for us as Christians. The coming of Jesus among us shows us that God's determination to make us companions in the life of the Trinity is as true and permanent as the life of the Trinity itself. Nothing whatsoever, neither death nor life, no angels, no rulers, no things past, nor things to come, not things in the present, no powers, no height, no depth, nothing in creation. Certainly not a large stone can separate Jesus from the Father and us from Jesus. So the mighty stone may have been there since the beginning of time, but it's time for it to roll away. There's a force greater than gravity at work right now. Now, for the two Marys and Salome, the stone represented the past, the glorious but failed memory of a dream that had died. For the Jerusalem authorities, the stone represented the present, the compromised but merciless control they exerted while it lasted. But for Jesus, the stone represents the future. It is the symbol that nothing can separate the Father from him and him from us. Every permanent, immovable, unshakable obstacle that you could possibly think of between us and God, between death and life, between this life and the life to come, every single one of them is going to find itself going the same way as that big stone in front of the tomb. Rolling, rolling, rolling away. So what does it mean for us? Let us imagine for ourselves, what is your stone? What does the stone represent for you? I want you to think on that for a moment. What is the heavy, unshakable, immovable things between you and God, between you and life, between you and love, between you and healing? For we're all like the three women. We all ache for a glimpse of that glory, for a taste of joy, for a hint of a dream, a vision of hope. But if we're truly honest with ourselves, we're all a little bit more than we care to admit, like the Jerusalem authorities, full of the compromises that promise to give us back control, full of the broken promises made by our flimsy anxiety and our unwillingness to live with uncertainty, full of lies and secrets and half-truths and shabby pretenses. And sometimes in life there are things that make us feel that our stone is unshiftable. This morning the truth is that that's not true. Just for a moment, imagine. Just for a moment, hear the whisper of wonder. Just for a moment, lift up your eyes and open your heart. And imagine for yourself what life will be like if that stone is rolled away. Imagine the stone rolling away from your past. Yes, there might be sadness. Yes, there might be shattered dreams or broken hearts. Yes, there might be missed opportunities or failed hopes. There may be bitterness and resentment. There might be old wounds and promises broken. But the stone is rolling away from your tomb. Now imagine the stone rolling away from your present. There may be compromises here. There's ways you've sold out that would have horrified your youthful and idyllic self. There's ways you've domesticated Jesus and kept the church at an arm's length and turned dreams into busyness and maybe programmed your life so much that there isn't much space for you to imagine something different. You may count the fruits of the Spirit and realize that you haven't felt joy or peace or gentleness or kindness for years. Your heart may be dominated by fears about money and the fragility of love and the anxiety of your own mortality. Maybe your own sense of worthlessness. But that stone is rolling, rolling, rolling away. Now imagine for yourself that the stone is rolling away, out of the way of your future. Maybe you've always felt that others are closer to God than you are. Maybe you've always feared that the hope of God was simply a fantasy. Maybe you've always found prayer difficult. Maybe you think the church is full of hypocrites, even worse than yourself. Or maybe you feel paralyzed in the face of your own death and the expectations of your culture or your family, the limitations of your own energies and your own resources. Maybe you are terrified to entrust your body and soul to the everlasting arms of your crucified Savior. But the stone is rolling away. Rolling, rolling, rolling away. Sense that. Allow your heart to feel that heavy weight moved away, that immovable obstacle that you feel is between you and the Lord. Let it roll away. Let it go. Feel the joy of all your grief and foolishness and fragility and failure rolling with it. Feel your heart burst with the wonder of the resurrection. For Jesus is risen, and the stone of death and grief, the stone of sin and control, the stone of fear and paralysis, they couldn't hold him. And your past and your present and your future rolled away with it. Take a few moments. Imagine for yourself. It's Easter day and the stones are rolling. Imagine for yourself, what do you want to set free? What are you dreaming of? What are you aiming at? What do you want to get out of the way between you and God? I'm going to give you a few moments. Offer that to God, simply as you are. And tell the Lord what it is. Ask for it to be taken away. We're going to sing together, He is Lord. And if you're able, please stand as we sing this together. Let us now join our hearts and our minds together as one. Let us pray. Exciting Jesus, bless us with joy this Easter because you have rolled away the stone. Fill us with wonder this Easter and make us thankful this Easter. Give us wisdom and faith this Easter, for you are the risen Lord. Today we remember that you came to bring peace and hope. We remember you as you walked the lands and the territories of the Middle East, Jesus. And we think of those lands now. We think of the conflict still raging in Gaza and the untold lives that are lost. We think of the people in despair and desperation who have no hope and no direction. We think of the leaders who refuse to negotiate or who put barriers in the way of peace. God of all, we ask for peace to be found, for access to be given so that the most needy may be helped and food and shelter provided. We pray that you would bring positive change in that region and that the peace and the hope of our risen Lord would be known. Today we remember again you, Jesus, that you came to bring us peace and hope. We remember that you spoke the truth and worked for good. We think of the nations and businesses and systems and individuals that are threatened and undermined by cyber attacks, by false rumors, by negative social media, and by fake news. We think of our own nation as we approach elections in a few weeks that we hope will be fair and democratic. We think of those who are easily influenced by people who would do them harm through conspiracy theories, lies, and bullying on social media. God of all, we ask for wisdom in nations and in institutions so that democracy and freedom can continue to free from harm those who could cause damage and disruption. We pray that you would protect and heal all children, young people and adults who are negatively influenced, and those affected, that they would find peace and hope. We remember, Jesus, that you shared your guidance, that you spoke up for the weakest and made lives better. We think of those who live in our communities who face challenge, pain, and hardship. We think of those who have no home or security, who face financial despair and who have no one to turn to. We think of those who have been led into addiction and can find no way out. We think of our friends and neighbors who face illness and fear, who have lost those close to them and who feel darkness in their lives. God of all, we ask that you would show your love and compassion for all whose lives are in trouble today and who find little to celebrate this Easter Sunday. We pray for all in need that they would feel your presence with them and that you would show us what we can do to work for you in changing the lives and helping those around us. We pray that your peace and hope would be real to those whose lives are tough. Jesus, we remember that you led your disciples and taught them by your example and by challenging them. We think of the leaders of our nation, our area, and our churches. We think of those whose lives are under close scrutiny, such as the royal family, those who make big decisions that change the lives of others, and those with the responsibility to lead people in living safely or worshipping well. We think of ourselves as Easter people, called to live our lives knowing that you, Jesus, is with us, following your example and living a life of service. We thank and we praise you, Lord, for all we have and for all we are, every blessing that we receive from your hand. We dedicate this morning our offerings to you and ask that you will bless what we bring as we use it to further build your kingdom here on earth. Today we remember again that you, Jesus, came to bring us peace and hope. And all these are prayers we lift up to you, for you are magnificent, all-powerful, our reigning and risen Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is the beautiful hymn, Thine Be the Glory. If you're able, let us stand and celebrate that the glory belongs to our risen and conquering Son. Just as we prepare to leave the service here this morning, I want to thank everyone who had a hand in arranging this morning, from the teas and the coffees, the children's activities, the lovely hot cross buns, Jim playing the organ for us, and all the arrangements that went into this morning. Thank you to everyone who made it all happen for us, especially this beautiful cross as well. We're going to allow the cross to be taken out ahead of us, and then we can simply follow on. It's going to be planted on the corner, as you may well know, and we can all just have a look at it outside. Receive now the blessing of the risen Lord as we go out of this place of worship into the world beyond. Easter joy is to be shared, to be grown, to be treasured. As we go out into this world, into a new week, may that joy be your strength, your inspiration, and your refuge in trouble. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you and all whom you love, this day and forevermore.